CliffCentral.com.
Yo, it's so cold. It is so cold, but I am warm and somebody up are. What's going on, Dremster? You are not dressed for this winter day.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
No, Wapara. Like,
I have a scarf right behind you. I have a jacket in the car.
Okay, at least you should have shown me though that then.
I'm wearing boots. I'm wearing socks. I'm wearing tights.
Fine. Good morning. Good morning, Remster. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Belated.
How I said hello, Remster. You saying everyone?
Go away.
You know, you sound like those people who do a poster for music and say, "There's DJ so and so and so and many more."
Yes, and so you I'm are the many more. Yes, you are the many more.
Come on.
Oh, I can't believe Romeo just started the show like that, guys. Really. I mean, he needs to take a chill pill. Good morning. It has been such a crazy week. It has been a beautiful week, and I hope it has been for you.
Congratulations for signing with the Queen.
Oh, gosh. Like, can he stop?
I'm so happy.
Stopping.
Can I tell you guys? So, The production of Ferguson Films, they actually challenged Rami to say, you need to get 10,000 retweets in order for us to sign you up on The Queen. You know, The Queen plays on Mzansi Magic. Mm-hmm. And she actually scored 10,000 and she actually signed. Well done.
Yes,
I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you so much.
Wow, that's so awesome. That was the highlight of my week.
How about stealing the thunder there? Thank you. I haven't even said hello yet, and there he is.
No, I'm so happy.
No, I am. That makes two of us. I'm happy. Man. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
So for me, in my life, Mondays will never be the same. You actually get to see me twice because I will be on The Queen at 9, and then I'll be on Harvest at 9:30.
Hey.
Both on Mondays.
We are going to see you enough.
Yeah, and The Queen starts for season 2 starts from, it's now Mondays to Friday, no longer Monday to Thursday.
Finally.
So I will be there. Yeah. So fine. Enough about me.
I love seeing you in a suit, by the way. I think you look awesome in a suit.
Oh, the suit is for Harvest. Yeah. It looks strange. Like, I don't look like any of the characters at all.
Okay, let's get on with the program.
Okay.
People need to leave.
Okay. You know what? We have a fully packed lineup today. A seriously packed show. We don't even have time to talk about all the little
and how I went to the summers over the weekend.
That's beside the point. We don't care about the summers, but so Lizzie and Tumi, they did a stellar
job. They still an awesome job.
They were amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, Babes was so heartbroken that she didn't win anything. And I'm like thinking, you know what? It's fine, Babes. Do what you do.
Yeah.
It will work out in future. There's so many people who get rejected. People don't even get nominated.
Nice nails,
over
by the
and
way.
Over. Thank you. I'm in character.
Can we talk about that?
Okay, I've got
color.
I've got red nails, which I need for the show.
Okay. Moving right along.
Yes, moving right along.
Right.
Next week, I'm going to come with very long lashes. I'm kidding. I hope not. Please, they mustn't do stuff to me. I must be able to still maintain myself and look like myself.
All right.
Okay. So, in studio today, I don't even need your drum roll.
What's going on?
Okay, fine. Okay. Okay, today we've got two beautiful guests. They don't know each other. They have absolutely nothing to do with one another.
Yeah.
And right now they're sitting next to each other and they're smiling at each other.
I am a motel, eh?
You know? And they're just like giggling like girls because, you know, girls know how to get along quickly. And then men always
feel honored. I feel honored to be in the presence of such beauty.
Yeah. So
likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know beauty, ne? Right. Yeah, just cut him out. Thank you so much. Okay, we've got Sarika.
Yeah.
Sarika, is your surname Moody or is it Modi?
Modi. Modi. Not Moody.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Not Moody.
Aren't you the guys who come and downgrade us and take us to junk status?
Yeah.
You know? So we've got Sarika Modi. She's the MD for 888.
Yeah.
And she has embarked on such an amazing campaign.
Yeah.
And she's going to tell us about it. And it was launched just a few weeks ago on the 11th of May in Melrose Arch. And, you know, I just spoke to her for the past, while waiting to come into the show. I was just sitting with her talking about it.
Mm.
And it is just amazing, the things that they're going to do. Mm. So welcome, Sarika, to Belated with Rami and Romeo.
Yeah.
And thanks, Romeo.
Yeah, I know you're such a jet setter. And now it's like you've got, I'm going to give you guys 3 minutes and I'm out of here. So we're not going to waste time.
Yeah.
What we're going to do, just going to let you give us a short overview of what you are doing and, you know, a bit about your company as well. Because, I mean, I know there's one thing to have a campaign, but then also there's 888, you know. So tell us a bit about that.
Thanks, Rami. So I'm the managing director of 888, and we're a cause marketing agency that works with some of the leading global brands in the world. And what we do with a lot of multinational brands is assist them in developing cause marketing initiatives that have a positive impact on South African people. And the project that we're talking about today is the Johnson's Baby Healthy Skin Project, which was launched on the 11th of May. This is an absolutely incredible project, and it was a true honor working with Johnson's Baby on this, because by 2020, this project will have reached 3 million babies in South Africa.
What I like about this project, and most of us as parents, we never think about our baby's skincare. You're thinking she's young, you just use whatever that you use, but you actually need to take care of your baby's skin, because it's the first defense against sicknesses and viruses and bacteria, whatever.
Romeo, you hit the nail on the head. And, you know, I'm a mom of two, and I must say that before working with Johnson's Baby, that's something I actually didn't even think about. It's the fact that the skin is the first line of infection against diseases.
Right.
It's basically your outer immune system. And for most moms, they don't realize how important the baby's skin is. So when there's something like dry, itchy skin, they see it as a non-life-threatening condition, and it tends to be overlooked. But actually, in South Africa, it's a big problem, where we have such high infant mortality. You know, and in poor socioeconomic conditions in particular, something as simple as dry, itchy skin can get out of control. You can let it allows bacteria and pathogens in, and results in a whole load of other illnesses that we wouldn't ordinarily think about.
Okay. And in terms of your goal, which is 3 million babies by 2020, how easy is it to access these babies? Because obviously you need to go through some serious defensive parents, given all the babies that are missing, especially the challenges we have now in the country. So what would be some of the rollout plans to get that going?
The 3 million is actually going to be quite easy for us to attain. And that's because there's a whole numerous, you know, there's a big plan with quite a number of different things that we'll be doing. For starters, we know that moms are struggling to access good affordable healthcare, especially private healthcare.
Right.
And, you know, there's a massive challenge that mothers have on a day-to-day basis, which is that, you know, they walk 20 to 30 kilometers, for example, to the nearest clinic. Get there, they tend to be unseen on the first day and have to return on a second day. And when you're carrying a sick baby, all of that distance and waiting for 2 days, it has an impact on their health. So the first thing we'll be doing is actually giving mothers in government hospitals vouchers that give them access to affordable private healthcare.
Right.
We're also going to be doing a mass education drive around the importance of skin health. And through this mass awareness drive, you know, things like being on Cliff Central today and creating awareness, we know we'll be reaching millions of mothers. So thank you also to Cliff Central, and thank you to the two of you for having us here today.
No, sure, definitely. Ramsa?
Yeah, well, I want to now, look, can you talk about the clinics that have been set up, you know, the rollout, and how that is going to, I mean, I know it's going to benefit all those kids. And how many provinces are you in at the moment, and how many clinics do you have, and what is the whole, what are the demographics around it? You know, I mean, I know you don't just plonk a clinic somewhere and leave it to run by itself.
Yeah.
So what happens there? What was the procedure? How did you get people to, how did you identify the areas, and who's busy with running of the clinics?
So Rami, Johnson's Baby recognized that moms are struggling to access healthcare.
Yeah.
So what they did is they've partnered with an NGO called Unjani. And Unjani is just an absolutely incredible concept. It's a container clinic. Well, there's a series of container clinics that have been set up in low-income communities.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea behind it is to give lower-income communities access to affordable private healthcare that's close to them. When you go to an Unjani clinic, you get seen almost immediately. There's 32 Unjani clinics. They're completely set up. It's a container with access to water. They've got generators for electricity, run by professional nurses from within the community. There's 32 of them currently in Gauteng, Limpopo, and the Northwest Province.
Right.
But they'll probably be up to about 70 of them within the next year and a half to 2 years. And I know that the next port of call is undoubtedly KZN. And from there, they will be setting up throughout the country.
Okay.
So at the moment, although it's predominantly Gauteng, it's going to be available countrywide.
Right, before we let you go, how can people get hold of your office? Because maybe someone wants to get involved, or they want to recommend their area, you know, as a recipient for this project.
One of the things that you can do is go onto the Johnson's Baby SA website and leave a message for us. Alternatively, use the @JohnsonsBabySA or #JohnsonsBabyHealth, and we'll pick up any questions that you have. Alternatively, if you have a question for Johnson's Baby's campaign team, just call 011-706-4086 and ask to speak to Haley.
Can you repeat the number, please?
It's 011-706-4086.
Thank you so much. We just had an interesting chat to Sarika Moody, who's the MD of 888, the project manager company that looks at the Johnson's Baby Health Skin project. So look it out in your area and do get involved. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks, Romeo and Rami. And if I can just add, if you can please hashtag Johnson's Baby Health,
right.
If you have any comments or questions that you'd like to put on social media.
Thank you so much for coming, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. And that number again is 011-706-4086 if you've got any inquiries.
Balisa, are you listening?
Get hold of that.
Did you listen? She said 011 and she was reprimanding you for saying then, oh.
Did I not just rectify myself? Yeah, okay, did fine, I not stop did. Myself?
Let me walk stop out our it. Guest. I'll be back.
Okay, fine. While you do that, I'm going to carry on speaking to our next guest while Romeo is thinking
I'm
about
walking
it.
Out our guest. Go this out. Is on radio.
Yeah, go out.
Allow me.
Bye, Sarika. Just don't let him in your car. Please. Just you must... 3 steps away. Thank you. And now, while Romeo's gone, I'm going to talk to you to tell you a little bit about the next guest that we have. She's an author, and which is very good. She's written a book. It's called "The Sun Will Always Rise." Anything that has to do with the sun already for me, it's like because that means there's a whole lot of sunlight. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of sunlight in the book, and. She's also talking about, she talks about life-threatening challenges. And of course, we talk about relationships as well, and we're going to talk about marriages. And that is her speciality. Mm. Yay, Father God. That is her speciality. And
yes.
We'll be talking about that. Mm. So ladies and gentlemen, let's please welcome.
Yep.
You can give her a drum roll just because you can. Your drum roll is hitting the mic.
Oh, I'm not going
to give. Careful. Was it not? It is.
I tried.
No, don't even. Just.
I've got big hands. What can I say?
Just stop it.
Okay.
Anyway, we've got the beautiful.
Yes.
Go. You can.
I
do
agree.
The snaps. You can do the snaps. She's so pretty.
I'm blushing.
And she's got beautiful teeth. They look fake.
Wow.
yes. They look fake.
It reminds me of your book
about the teeth. Mm. Okay. And then no, and you know, I got here. I usually get here very early, and there she was. Like I walked in, and 5 minutes later she walked in, and she's like, "I can't stand being late." And I'm like, "Wow, order, very impressive. And yes, and Romeo walked in 45 minutes later, but it's fine.
I await the day you're gonna actually pay me a compliment.
No, it's not gonna happen. So please.
Okay, fine.
Please breathe, before you die. You don't want to run out of breath.
Mm.
Keep breathing. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Vivian Bree Masuku. Clap your hands, Romeo.
I'm taking a picture.
And she's here, and she's here to talk to us about a whole lot of things. But before we even get into a whole lot of things, before we even talk about her book, before we even get to what she does, who she's with, and all of that, let's say hello to Miss Bree.
Hi, Rami. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are
you? I'm sitting this
side. Okay, thank you. Hi, Rami. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging
me. I'm okay. Thank you.
Like, do you see what I need to? Yes. I have to deal with.
But people, I know him, eh?
Yeah. But yeah. No, you see, next thing.
What do you mean you know me?
And
what does
thing,
it mean?
Next thing, you know, he drives me to drink. This guy, honestly. but it's fine.
Oh, Novella, you are drinking.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for being here with us.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. So what do you want to tell us before Romeo starts with his questions? So you mustn't let him to say create a belated moment, and what is the importance of refuse that?
You have don't to create a belated moment.
No, don't listen
to Rami.
You just talk.
Listen to Rami, obviously.
Yes. Bona, when you must talk, the belated moments will show up by themselves. Don't let Romeo put you in a corner.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Because he will. Because he will.
Okay. So can I give a context of why we invited Bree today?
Do that.
A lot of our relationships, marriages, people who are staying together, whatever, whatever our different beliefs, we find that we have to go through a full season or cycle of challenges together as a couple. And one of them, for those who are married, you know, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, you know, until death do us part. And I find that many times, because when the wedding happens, we are so excited, we actually never really, really understand what these words mean until they happen to us. And also what I find, these challenges, they also really bring out the real character. You know, it's like, as a couple, you actually don't have money, you don't know where your next money is going to come from, or you've just both lost your jobs. That's where you actually see the real person, the real character comes out. So the whole idea of bringing Bree into the studio is to come and share some of her experiences, especially with For Better For Worse. And you'll see how also her husband plays such a critical role to the journey that she has gone through. So I thought I'd just give you a context, and then you can go with your questions before I get on with my belated moments.
No, I asked her, how is she doing?
Oh.
And can she tell us a bit about herself?
Okay, then.
Oh, okay. First and foremost, ne? I believe in God and His greatness for Amen. The things that He has done for me.
Mm. Yes. That sounds like a song.
No.
I want you to take off those headphones. Either wear them or put them. Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
That doesn't mess with your microphone.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, you'll get to find out sooner what the Lord has done for me. So that's the first thing. And I'm a mother. I have three children.
Don't beat the table. It's giving feedback. Focus.
Oh. Okay, and I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm also on the board of Epilepsy SA Foundation.
Okay.
Yes. All right. A lecturer as well at TUT, yes.
What is it that you don't do? You are a superwoman, basically.
I try.
Anyway, okay, so I think without any waste of time, you've had your fair life's challenges.
Yes.
And I think that's what I'm interested to find out. What happened? And, you know, the discovery process, you know, going through the stages of denial, acceptance, and so forth. And also interested to find out how, you know, your husband came in. And what did that mean to you? Because I know how much you hold your husband in such high regard as well.
A lot of things happened. Firstly, I'm epileptic. I have been for 33 years, and he's been with me for 18 years with my epilepsy. I had lupus, I had a brain tumor, I was paralyzed and all those things.
Mm.
And he was just there for me, like, full time.
Mm.
Yeah, never going back.
And in terms of what is your definition of for better, for worse, given that you've actually experienced it?
Being with someone, regardless of the situation, your feelings don't have to be influenced by the situation that you are in.
Mm.
Yeah, you love the person regardless, mm-hmm. whether you are poor or whether you are rich, whether the person is sick, whether the person is healthy, and all that.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to have to sidetrack a bit because you said something very important. You said...
Mm-hmm. Was that a belated moment?
No.
Oh.
You said you're epileptic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also had or have lupus. You're
yes.
dealing with lupus.
Yes.
And I want to talk about lupus a bit because, I mean, the whole month of May,
yes.
it has been lupus awareness month.
Yes.
Awareness
yes.
month.
Yes.
And I've realized that a whole lot of people, not just black people, the mm-hmm. black community, mm-hmm. but a lot of people, they don't understand what lupus is. And
okay.
like, how do you know that someone has lupus? And, you know, just, can you tell us a bit about that, just for someone who's listening? Because with it being Lupus Month, I think I can't just let that slide over that.
Yeah, it's an autoimmune disease. Your immune system is fighting the healthy tissues,
mm-hmm.
so it's fighting against itself. So you get lupus in different ways. Like with mine, there's also with mine was a medically induced lupus because of the epilepsy medication that I was taking.
Uh-huh.
I got lupus.
Okay.
And then some, they just get it. Okay. And then it comes, it sometimes it's on the skin. Mine was joint. Sometimes it's the organs, different things, okay, depending on different people.
I know that. Mm-hmm. A very good friend of mine, Bonso Tlhakwane, also has lupus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know when it gets bad and when it gets really, really sore, and then, you know, I know she needs to go and get those hormonal injections on her spine, about five or six of them. Mm. Like, you know, they do it like an epidural injection. It is bad. And then when she is in pain, she is in such a state that she can actually not move.
Yeah.
So what are the signs, the basic signs, for instance, when someone doesn't know? Because now when someone does that, someone will be thinking, this one, we must pray for them. They're probably possessed or something. Kanti, it is something that is medical, because she also is like the joints get stiff.
Yes, with me, it started with I was exercising and then I felt pain on the joints. That's when I went to see the doctor, mm-hmm. and then I was diagnosed.
I want you to also talk about educate your partner when this kind of thing start to happen. You know, you start noticing the difference and you know, as this thing happened, educate your partner, because also I find that if your partner is not educated, they don't know what to do, and then they could also act out of, you know, frustration. You know, because you are constantly in pain, you are constantly going through this, and now they have to miss work, they have to, and that can cause friction in a relationship.
But then, you see, with my partner, he's the one who always researches. He will tell me what to do and what things to eat, and always does that.
So he's very, very, very involved.
Yes, very, very, very.
But what is the importance of disclosing? Let's say we're going to date. You know, we're meeting, and the importance of disclosing those kind of things to a partner as well, because then they can go and learn to research so that they know how to help you.
Yes, it is important, because what if it happens and we are on a date and you don't know anything? It's going to cause problems. Mm. So I have to be upfront with all the illnesses that I have.
Immediately.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then have you, because now that we're talking about relationships, but have you found that to be a bit of a stumbling block in your previous relationships?
Nope.
Guy happened and then he was like, I got this.
No, each and every type of relationship that I can get into, I'm not ashamed of my epilepsy.
No, I understand. But my question is that, have you found that the partner, on the other side, like maybe your previous relationship with someone could not be able to contain or understand what you, they just was, yes. everyone always supported and understand.
Let me come in there. I think also what I want us to do, the empowerment part of the show, is to say, what would you recommend? Because that's why people are stuck between, do I disclose or do I keep quiet? What would you encourage someone to do, especially when they have this kind of challenges and illnesses, and then they're going on a date, or, you know, the guy's interested? What are some of the ideas and advices that you can give as well?
Well, it depends on how far your relationship is. I can look, you can't just
disclose
on the first date. You look at the kind of person the guy is, and then you disclose. Then if he can't take it, then it's too bad.
Yeah, no, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Because you know what, I mean,
you've got to take me as I am.
There's nothing you can do about it. Okay, now we will talk about your book, but I want to understand, what is your passion about, what's so passionate about you and relationships and marriages and wanting to make it work? And you know, I mean, other people, their passion is cooking and they write recipes. Others, their passion is being on the screen or being on radio, and your passion looks like relationships is one of the things that drives you, that make you wake up in the morning. And why that?
Not really. I'm not a marriage expert or anything.
Yeah.
Romeo invited me because I seem to have a sort of perfect nyana marriage.
Your marriage is perfect. It's not a perfect nyana. Perfect.
No. Ari, sort of perfect nyana. And this is like a good 18 years later. Wow.
But it is like, I'm so blessed, Rami. Yeah. I really don't know who I'm like really blessed. Yeah, like unbelievably so.
That is so awesome. Okay, fine. Tell us about your marriage, how you met your husband?
We met in a train. I was working in Isando. We were both working in Isando, actually. And then we just became friends.
You
and
met then, on a train, like a metro rain, because yes, I know how she wasn't rain, there.
Yes.
Sparapar.
Yes. Ha.
And then what happened? Yeah.
And then we became friends, and then things, one thing led to another, and then here we are.
Wow. And this was 18 years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Mm. Okay. And I'm divorced. Romeo can't even say anything because he is divorced.
I know.
Trust me, like a lot.
I didn't want the listeners to know that.
He's divorced to the last number.
Thank you.
No, listen. Okay. Listen. Well, like, I'm just divorced. Romeo's divorced to the last number. Like,
what does that mean?
No, like, it can't get worse.
Feels
than
like
this.
The Gupta email exposure.
It can't get worse than this. But it's quite cool because now, you know, we come here, but then we're still like serious believers in relationships. We believe in marriage. Mm-hmm. We believe in love. Ah, I love love.
Okay.
Yo, I love love a lot. Mm-hmm. And then it also helps for us to talk about that. So in your book, I know you talk about family. You talk about different life's challenges, but then you talk about different stages, obviously, and the importance of family and relationships in general. Mm. So can you tell us about your book, and you can you also tell us about the relationship that you have with your in-laws?
Yeah, it's, as I said, my marriage is perfect.
Yes.
So my relationship with my in-laws is perfect.
Yes.
But what did it take? Because I don't think you meet people and, you know, things fall into place.
I'm lovable, you know.
Ah.
Oh. I am. I don't know why. Mm. But yeah, I think I was raised well at home, Kinalibu too, and all that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how would you
respect a lot.
How would you then help someone whose relationship with the in-laws are struggling, you know, in terms of some of your, you know, experiences of having had your ability to turn your in-laws, before your in-laws became the outlaws? What are some of the advice that you can give someone whose relationship with their in-laws is not that great?
Identify what the problem is. Mm. And then if the problem is the mother-in-law, talk to her. And then I know that there are some mother-in-laws that are very difficult, but then if people don't like you, they don't like you, there's nothing much you can do. You can just respect them and act lovingly towards them, and that's as far as you can go.
One of the things that I find very important to add on what you're saying is maybe if you don't have a healthy relationship with your in-laws, you need to find a way to have a relationship for the kids as well. Because I find that when you don't have a relationship, chances are by default, the kids won't go and visit their grandparents. Or, I mean, you know what I mean? So I think for me, it's important to create some form of a relationship for the sake of your children as well.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay.
And always go there and visit, even if you know they don't like you. But, she is your husband's mother. There's nothing you can do about that.
So what is the name of your book and the inspiration to write it?
The sun will always rise. It means that problems will always go away, you know, because there is time for darkness and there's also time for light. So whenever you are going through the dark times, you must always remember that the sun is going to rise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. And the inspiration to write the book?
My life.
Okay, so essentially you went through all these challenges and then you decided to actually share with the world how to go through some of the challenges you've had.
No, at first I wanted to write a book to write about epilepsy awareness because there's a lot of stigma attached to it.
True.
And then it was January 2014 and then the brain tumor happened and then paralysis happened and everything else came. Yeah, and then I decided to put it in.
So now Brie, you okay, and we'll talk, I'm going to go more into the book, but you are dealing with epilepsy.
Yes.
Which kind of induced your lupus.
Yes.
Then you had a brain tumor.
Yes.
You had paralysis.
Yes.
And then you're sitting here in front of me, fully able, talking, fully functional. Mm. I see both your arms are moving. You walked in here, and all of that. So now, can what goes through someone's head when you are faced with those many challenges in your life? Because I mean, I know these were not your only challenges. I'm just setting them apart because the other people, you know, someone can get a headache, and already for them their life is over. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then when you've had all these hard hitting, hectic, emotionally draining, probably spiritually draining, and financially draining as well. I'm sure you've had a call where the medical aid has to say, by the way, your funds have run out. And then you start wondering, now, from here, then what? You know what I mean? So how then do you still get the willpower and get the strength? Because, yes, you know, I understand, and I'm not taking away the element that God is always there and he pulled you through that. Because God is there for everybody. But there's a particular role that you as a person yourself need to play so that you can match that. So maybe I'm asking like the level of faith or I don't know what I'm saying.
I get
so what is it that drove you to keep going and not stop?
My children, because they were young at the time. The young one was like 3 years back. He was 9, the other one was 10, the other one was 12. And then if I die, what's going to happen? I couldn't give up.
One of the things that you mentioned in your book as well is how many times we actually put our faith in doctors. You know, doctors telling you you've got so much to live, you know, and how did you pull through, you know, first time hearing about that you're going to live for this long, but then you actually counter, you know, that and you actually stood, you know, in faith.
I did not hear it. They said in a coma. Remember, I was in a coma.
Right.
Yes. And then they told my husband.
Okay.
Yes.
But then when I came out,
they said I was not going to walk. I should just be in a hospice. I was not going to walk or talk or anything. And I just had willpower. I don't know why I got that. Yeah, I just had the willpower to move on.
My question then is, how do you counter that? You know, obviously, you got to sit and think, do I take the doctor's report or do I believe differently about myself? How did you go through that phase in order for you not to allow what the doctors are saying to you, to where you are sitting today?
You know, I don't know how to explain this, ne? But when I was paralyzed, I could see myself that I was paralyzed, ne? But I wasn't processing it. I could see that I'm suffering with bathing and all this, but I wasn't. There was never a time where I said, "I'm going to win this." I was just taking it day by day.
Okay.
Brie. Okay. Now, can we talk about your book? I can see it's actually a memoir. It's a memoir.
Yes.
It's kind of again not a memoir.
Autobiography.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because mine is a memoir. Sorry, I don't know why I used that.
What is the name of your book? Let's talk about it a little bit.
No, we're not going there. So, I can see one of the first things that you mentioned in your book is your names. Your official names.
Yes.
Because Mpologeng and Vivian.
Yes.
And you say you don't like them.
Yes.
And then for you, it would remind me of those other names that they give other kids, like Matakala, which is rubbish, Matomola, Sadness, Dikele, the Tears, you know, Oba Grandfather, Oma Grandmother, Klupega, Suffering, Gidiboni, hey, I've seen them, eh? My shillings. Life, someone must just call me billions. If they want to give me a name, they must call me billions. Then maybe I'll get billions. But now, comparatively speaking, with, okay, I mean, I know Mpologeng, it means save me. or but bury me.
Yes.
Because it's two different things.
But that's what but people no. think when you say your name is Mbolokeng, then yeah. let's bury me.
Yeah, because it means a, because with Mbolokeng, it means a lot of things. It could
yes.
be
save me or bury
or
me.
Or bury me yes. or preserve me.
Yes, or know? Preserve me, yes.
So, but then, you, so now why did you not like, and then what was wrong with Vivienne?
What's in a name?
Because I've been named after someone. Why couldn't they give me my own name? Like Bridget, you know, Bridget, it's the name that my mother wanted for me. And then I grew up, everyone took calling me Bridget. And then the next thing, I get to high school, I have to write my matric exams. I find out I'm Vivienne Mbolokeng.
But what is the significance of the name, the meaning in a name, according to you? Because obviously you're kind of like trying to get a point
across. I feel like I have to love my name. Mm. I have to be proud of my name.
That is true. Mm. My friend, my best friend who passed on in 2013,
mm-hmm.
her name was Matlakala.
Mm-hmm.
And
translate, what is Matlakala for some of us who don't know?
It's rubbish. And then she went into the Home Affairs and officially changed her name.
Mm.
And kind of mad, she had another weird name, but another English name. But then she loved Shirley. I think she loved Shirley Bassey.
Oh, you're talking about Shirley?
Yeah, Shirley.
Ah, yes.
And then she went in and she officially changed her names and called herself Shirley. She's not Shirley. She was not Shirley.
Mm.
She was Matlakala Helen, something, another weird name. But and she didn't like either of the names.
Mm.
She didn't like any of them. And then she went in and she changed them.
Mm. This is based on the fact that people believe that, you know, your name carries either your luck or your blessings or, you know, your curse.
There was a time when I wanted to change it and then my husband advised me otherwise. But I don't like my name, say. Okay. I do not
so,
like my name.
Is this your challenge that you're eventually going to change them? Because you could just go to Home Affairs and get new names and change them. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I know. It's something that I've already written a book under Vivienne. You know, I have degrees under Vivienne.
It's fine.
Isn't it a lot of work?
There was Prince, there was Symbol, there was nothing. I mean, you can change your name as many times as you want.
Mm.
But I hear you. But then now you've made peace with Vivienne Bree.
Yes.
Like Brie for Bridget, obviously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're content with that. There's no running to the Home Affairs and changing.
Yes.
Okay. That's fantastic. And then the journey in writing your book. I can see your book here. Your foreword has been done by one. I know his name. Let me just find it. Let me just find it quickly. I have your book in my hand. So the foreword has been done by one Romeo Hanyani Mabasa. Why did you get Romeo Mabasa to do your foreword?
Do I need to be here for this?
What? We're not talking about you.
Oh.
Okay.
No, because we are friends.
So, Romeo is your friend?
Yes.
And then, but I mean, anyone, you have
and
lots
of
friends.
And he was the one who was helping me with writing a book. And he had experience. He's an author, Rami. He's an author.
But that's the whole point. Why him? You just gave me a reason.
You should see
why
my
him?
Face oh. right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, because I know you've got lots of friends. And I also see that Hector, the motivator, also did the second part of your foreword.
I needed actually three people, like two motivational people, because my book is both educational and
motivational.
Two from motivation and one from education. And the people that I wanted from education said no.
They said no.
Yes.
Okay, so...
got a message from our number one listener. And her name is Pauline Hopper. And she says, wow, Vivian, overcoming major health challenges, such resilience.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go. This is awesome. Now, let's go back to... I really wish that we can talk more about couples and, you know, the fairy tale that they sell each other But then when challenges come, then, you know, you find that you're on your own, but then you thought you had a man or you had a woman, but now, you know, you're in crisis and they are not there.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the advice, belated moment, that you can create for couples who actually never ever have experienced challenges, both of them? You know, many times you find that it's your husband only going through a challenge and you're kind of like saying, okay, sort it out, or I'll encourage you to sort it out. But mm-hmm. what about couples who have to experience something, both of them? And then, you know, what is the power and the importance of tackling life's challenges together?
I say, when things are well, take good care of each other. Love each other, respect each other, treat each other well. Mm. So that when things go bad, you will be able to be there for each other. Can you imagine if I had been the worst wife ever and then I don't think my husband would have stayed.
And then you're
going
to a coma. We will switch off the machine.
Yeah, you see. Yeah, so yeah. And then, in Sepedi Bari, what do they say? Ngatana yesang? You can't break. You can't break. So there's the power of togetherness. Yes.
Okay. Bridget, I want to ask you this because I have a friend who has been in hospital for over a year now. And in this whole year, there has been so much ups and downs. Just when you think he's getting better, he would get worse. Just when you think he gets better, he gets worse. And I've seen the strain that it has put on his wife and the strain that it has put on his children, you know? And not because they're tired of him, but they're actually tired.
Yes.
It is tiring.
The situation is tiring.
Yes. So it is not just bad for the patient, but it's also bad for the people taking care of the patients, the family, the spouse. So it becomes a bit of an issue. I remember two weeks back, we actually got the wife to go on a mini holiday so that she can just recharge, you know. And then there are days when she says, I am tired. I am actually not physically able to get up to go to the hospital. And then says, Rami, can you go? You know? And I know to someone else who hasn't been in the situation, you'll think, ha, mangogo oban. What's wrong? I mean, after all, it's your husband. Go. But then I know it is tiring. And funnily enough, when you get that involved, myself, from a distance, I get tired. So I can imagine how it is for someone who is as close as a husband, as a partner, as a spouse, feeling the burn and, you know, the brunt, because first they need you to get better.
Yes.
They need your lives to be back to normal.
Mm.
They don't want you to die. So they're dealing with a whole lot of things. So I'm saying this to say, like, I can imagine the strain that it must have been for your husband to sometimes watch you and wonder, if are you going to pull through or not?
Yes.
You know, he probably got emotionally tired, spiritually tired, physically tired,
financially
tired as well. And then here's the wife. He's sitting there looking all helpless. If he could, there's a whole lot of things that he could do to get you out of that situation. But now he also doesn't have a wife at home. The kids need to be taken care of. And I just need to know, how was that whole transition? How was that whole experience? How has it been for him, for your kids, for even your immediate families, you know, your mom and everyone else?
And I think just to add to that as well, from Rami's point, you find that you are frustrated because you see him frustrated, but hiding it.
Yeah, because we were hiding. When I got diagnosed, because firstly, when I got diagnosed with lupus, I didn't take it well. I didn't think that I would get another chronic illness. I mean, I have lived with epilepsy. I believed, like, epilepsy was my life. And then came lupus. And I thought, but why me, you know? And then the brain tumor. And then I just gave up. When the brain tumor came, I just said, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. And then I was not worried until close to the operation. For removing the brain tumor. That's when I started becoming scared. I was scared, and he was also scared, but we were not telling each other that we were scared because I was trying to be strong for him and he was trying to be
strong for you.
And then when I was in hospital, we had our helper and my sister's baby was also living with us. So she was helping the children. Okay. I don't think they missed me, but I don't think it was bad.
And what about the financial strain that this kind of health issues put on your relationship, including the exhausted chances are you exhaust the medical aid? Do you think a lot of couples are actually prepared for that? How many of us actually proactively say, if this should happen, here is some little money that will help us?
We do not do that. We do not budget for the unknown. And it's a very bad thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah, because my medical aid got up to 1.2 million.
Sure.
For one hospital only, because I was in two hospitals. The other one where I...
Aman, you're scaring our guests, man.
1.2 million.
I'm interested in that. Yeah, so you're telling...
The first hospital, I don't know the second... The second hospital was for rehab. And the other one was when the operation and staying and the coma and the locked-in syndrome and all these illnesses that I caught.
All in all, how many days or how many months were you in hospital, if you counted? Obviously, you'll continue with that response as well.
Three months.
Full time?
Yes.
You were not home for 3 months?
Yes. So that was like the longest you've been?
Yes.
Okay, but then but it wasn't the only time you've been in hospital. Oh. You've been in and out.
It's my second home.
It was.
Yes. In Jesus' name, then.
Okay. And now, after all of this, now here we are. Now,
yes.
How are you feeling? I mean, you're looking absolutely fabulous. You don't look like anybody who's got any issues whatsoever.
I'm fine. I went back to work and next semester, because this semester I was teaching one subject. When I went back to work, they brought me in like bit by bit. So I'm teaching one subject this semester. Next semester I'm going to try to. Okay. And I think I'm going to be fine.
All right. So we are running out of time as always. But I really can I ask you to take some time to really reflect and share with our listeners some of your lessons, in summary of couples. What are those things that you really need to look out for? One of the things that you talk a lot about is, as a mother, you're thinking, I might pass away, I might die.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're worried about who's going to take care of your kids. You talk a lot about having a will, for example. Mm-hmm. We are not big into wills.
As blacks, it's really important because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave here.
You kick the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just reflect. If, let's say, you are sitting in a group, couples are sitting there, and they ask you and say, please give us, based on your experience, give us some of those thought-provoking advice that we need to take into account, as we grow through life together.
What I could say is that you don't know what's going to happen to you. That's why I say you have to take care of each other, so that when something happens, you will be there for each other. You have to support each other, love each other, respect each other, understand each other's weaknesses and strengths. Things that you do when you're in love, you should keep doing when you're married.
And how are your kids? How are your kids now? How are they feeling? Are they excited that mommy's back in full force?
Yes,
excited.
Yes.
Now you get to. Now you get to do all the activities. Go to school with them.
See,
go to meetings. go out, dine, do sports, and seriously get involved. Because I think it must have been quite difficult having you in and out of the house, going to the hospital a lot of times. Sometimes, I'm sure it must have been scary when you don't know whether, when they come back to school, are they going to find you home or not?
Yes, because my husband always says, every time when he came back from the hospital, they would ask how I was. And then he would just say, I'm getting better, even when I was not. Yeah. Because it was ups and downs.
I just got another quick question. How do you then help the kids cope? Because they don't understand. And they know mommy is not home for 3 months. How do you then help them to cope you know, what advice would you give parents, you know, in a similar situation?
I was not there, Romeo. I don't know how they coped. I don't know what Mpo did. Mm. Yeah.
I was about to ask this beautiful husband, what's his name? And then you said Mpo.
Yeah.
Because you kept on saying, so your husband.
I wish he was here, man.
Then your husband, yeah, he's nice. Working. Yeah.
It would have been nice for him to have, yeah, you know, so if we can so hear his too. Side of the story.
Yeah, yeah, to have been. Mm. But I'm happy that you're back in action. You're looking,
yes,
good. You're looking,
I'm happy,
well.
Too. Thank you so much.
And I love how you just, like, after you bounce back, you just attacked life. I mean, you're doing everything.
You wrote a book about it.
You know, yeah, second book. Chance. You're
doing,
you can't,
yeah,
waste time.
So you're not,
you know,
messing it up. Yeah. You're seriously taking it head on and taking it in your stride. And you're doing so well. A book. You're a lecturer. You are
doing your PhD,
you're,
I believe.
Doing your PhD. You're, hey, studying.
Nice.
And then also you're working. Mm. And then you still have a family to take care of, and you still have kids to take care of, and you still have Mpo to take care of as,
yes,
well.
I mean,
yes,
appreciate
it.
Yes. Well. Yeah, yeah. So you've got a lot on your plate, and we can only wish you the best and hope
thank
that
so
life
thank
can be. So definitely, I can tell you that the sun has always is back. It is now shining on you, and it will always shine on you.
Yeah. Okay, how do so people much. Get hold of you if they want to invite you for talks?
I am on. Okay, let me give my number first. Ne, it's 0721754119.
Okay,
0721754119. I'm on Facebook, Bridget Masuku. On Instagram, Vivian Brie Masuku. On Twitter, at Brie_Masuku.
Uh-huh. Moving with the times.
Oh, nice. Yes. Absolutely. That is absolutely fabulous. And we wish you the best, man. Maromza.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think we have outdone. Outdone this woman who's sitting across us. Mm. We must just let her go and work.
Yeah.
You are going to work after this, right?
Oh, is it school holidays again?
No. Oh, okay. Oh, she's those ones who take Mondays off.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming, and we really wish
you
the best with your future plans. And we hope you get lots of invites to come and talk about your life's journey, because I know you will definitely help a lot of people.
Okay.
As well.
Yes, and that's it from us. That has been Belighted on this Monday morning, and we hope to see you back again. Remember to get hold of us via WhatsApp 0797482090.
Yeah.
You can leave messages. We'll find them there. And Maromza.
Hmm.
I think
you know, we didn't talk about the fact that I went to the summers, but it's fine.
I don't care that you went
fine.
To the summers.
Okay. All right, cheers. Have a lovely week, and we love you, and we appreciate you. Download all the podcasts, tell your friend about it, join the Cliff Central newsletter. It has some amazing antidotes.
Yeah, and follow us at Belighted.
Belighted Show.
Belighted Show on Insta and on Twitter.
Yeah, Belighted with Ramin Romeo on Facebook.
Romeo.
Yeah.
Hey, Tara.
Hola.
Beautiful week. CliffCentral.com.